Now, what can audiences expect from the scientists in the bookshop Tales from the Field event that's happening next week?
I think they can expect some very exciting stories and breaking out of sort of the boundaries of what people tend to think of as a normal scientist, not the kind of stereotypical person that's, you know, making crazy chemical cocktails in a lab. So we're actually in often very amazing, beautiful places, often very, very difficult times. I study frogs, so I tend to go into the wettest places on Earth during the wettest times on Earth and tend to grow fungus myself doing my work. And so it's, some of the best times of my life have been in the field and also some of the worst times of my life. You definitely know you're alive. And it's all driven by a passion for science. So for me, it's a passion for discovering the amazing frogs that are on this planet and trying to make sure that we don't lose any more of the gorgeous creatures.
Now, talking about Tales from the Field and beautiful, wonderful, amazing, I'm sure at times challenging places, you've just gotten back from an expedition into the mountains of the Solomon Islands. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I have. It was one of the most difficult and most amazing trips of my life. So they tend to sort of go hand in hand. I've come straight from winter in Sydney. Right now I'm back in on winter in Sydney, obviously, straight to the tropics. And then we had to spend about 9 or 10 hours climbing from the coast on the amazing island of Malaita in the Solomon Islands, all the way up to over 1,000 metres. And I tell you what, the local guys are so incredibly fit. They can just, they do things in half the amount of time. So they just spent a lot of time waiting for me, and it was my colleague Tim that were panting and huffing and puffing and about to sort of have heat stroke to actually follow them and make it up the mountain. But we were rewarded. It was absolutely amazing. Some of the most beautiful habitat that I've ever seen. Crystal clear limestone streams where you could see every single sort of fish or tadpole in there. Just the forests were dripping with orchids and ant plants.
Oh,
and you could not even really see the bark on any of the trees. It was just so covered in other green life. And the frogs, oh my gosh. The most iconic frog of the Solomon Islands is thankfully very common. And so we got to see all these frogs called the Solomon eyelash frogs, which have sort of, they look like basically different coloured leaves. There's yellow ones, red ones, brown ones, and they're all kind of in the same place with little sort of eyelashes or little horns above their eyes. But it was just amazing. So we were trying to document what frogs were there with the local Kwai'o people and hopefully help save those forests from logging.
Wow, that's amazing. I've just looked up the Solomon eyelash frog. God, they're cute little things, I think. They're very cute little things.
They were amazing. And it's very unusual to have a frog that is in so many different colours. Usually one species is green, usually. But these guys, I guess it makes sense because leaves come in almost every colour,
on
the forest floor. And so these frogs kind of come in every colour, but we found a whole host of other frog species as well, mostly actually the Kwai'o found them. They're really good at catching the frogs and they know what's in their forest, so it's just a matter of us working with them from a traditional science perspective and trying to officially document, scientifically document the frogs that are there and try and save them.
Now, I understood that when you took this particular expedition, you planned to facilitate women's-led research and conservation within the local community. What was that experience like while you were there?
Oh, it was absolutely amazing. So it's part of a longer-term collaboration that the Australian Museum's had with the Kwai'o. And beforehand, it's been mostly working on mammals, which the culture is quite divided on men's and women's animals and work. And so that mammals were a men's animal. So it was really great to have frogs being actually more of a female's animal. And so it was useful that I was a female as well working over there. And so the women were very involved in the research, documenting the frogs, helping record the calls of the frogs, which are very important in identifying them, and working with me and the others in the forest. So it was really fantastic.
It sounds like you had the most incredible time and you did the most incredible work. I'm so curious to know, Jodie, before we let you go, because this is something I've wondered all morning. What was it that made you want to research frogs in the first place? Why did you choose this particular field?
I think it chose me. And so I just actually, at UNSW, when I did environmental science as an undergraduate, we started going out into the forest at night. And I'd never done that before. I'm a city girl. I've got city parents. And so we ended up going out in New South Wales into these rainforest streams, and I just saw these amazing, beautiful frogs. And at the same time as I fell in love with them, I realized how much trouble they were in. Mm. And, you know, 42% of all species of frog are threatened with extinction. We desperately, desperately need to work on them to figure out where they are, how they're doing, and how we can save them. So it sort of just happened. I guess I was lucky enough to fall into this. And so one of the things I'm also incredibly passionate about is trying to communicate how amazing frogs are so other people might fall in love with them too.
Oh my gosh. Well, it sounds like you have some stories to tell, Jody, and this is going to be a very, very interesting event when you come together with the other scientists to tell them. Unfortunately, we'll have to leave it there, but thank you for joining us this morning and for sharing a little bit about your work.
Thank you so much.